Thank you for downloading the Broadmead Community Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy it.
Morning. Oh, I'm on. Already, look at that. Efficiency. It's framed me this week. I wasn't here last week, and so it's framed me. Everything is back to front, including the screen, which was on that side last week, and now it's on this side. I'm sure I'll get used to it. Okay, sorry, hair's all caught. Let me sort that out first. Right. Morning. What a morning so far. I'm hoping I can add to it in some way this morning. So we're going to continue to delve into Hebrews this morning, into Hebrews 12. We're going to consider what it means to be a citizen in the new city and our responsibility within that. But first, I want to go back a bit. For some of us, a long way back, to the day we accepted Jesus into our lives, or the day we got baptized. Because that is the day that you entered the new city. You don't enter the new city when you die, you enter the new city as soon as you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is the day you became a citizen of God's city. You entered a new kingdom, and you became a son or a daughter. You may have thought back then at that point that all your problems would go away. I wish. And maybe you hoped that from that day on you wouldn't suffer. Maybe you hoped that life would become easy. You may have thought that your life would be perfect and a dream. Sadly, that is not what Jesus promises. At no point in this Bible does it say that life will become easy. At no point does Jesus say that all your problems will go away. What it does say, however, is you will never again be alone. You will never again face things without his love, his guidance, his strength. That he will give you all the wisdom you ask for, the hope and the strength to face those difficult situations when they come. To have peace of mind in the midst of trials. However, I know, and I'm sure many of you do too, that sometimes it can be very easy to get disgruntled with God. Impatient, angry, frustrated, when he doesn't do what we want the way we want it. And so the temptation is to take it into our own hands. And this section of Hebrews that we're about to delve into kind of addresses this. It gives us a warning before a real encouragement. And so let's delve in. We're going to turn to Hebrews 12. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to do quite a bit of Bible reading today. We're going to turn to Hebrews 12, verse 14 to 17. And it says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit his blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. And this is a warning to each one of us, that though we are members of a new city, we mustn't get complacent. We mustn't get bitter with God. We mustn't take things into our own hands when it seems like things are not working out. We have to trust God. Otherwise, like Esau, we may lose it all. And then, no matter how hard we try, we may never get it back. But why? Why does it matter how we behave? Surely it doesn't matter now because we've already gained our place in the city of God. We're already citizens. We've already accepted Jesus, and therefore we have our place. So why does it matter now? What I think, what I say, how bitter I become, whether I hold on to things, as Kathy was saying. Well, let's think about that. We're going to carry on reading because the next bit comes with an encouragement but also explains why. Hebrews 12, 18 to 24. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched, that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better word than the blood of Abel. This section, a reminder and an encouragement. First, it's a reminder of the awesomeness of God. Sometimes I forget, I think we all forget, how awesome and how powerful he really is. Let's go back a bit to the original story that the Hebrews is talking about here. The original story is in Exodus. And we read, if you go back before the bit I'm going to read, it says about how the Israelites, if you remember, they left Egypt and they're wandering in the wilderness. They've been led day and night by pillars of fire and smoke. I can't imagine. I was watching something this week on Moses, and just seeing what the images before me was just incredible. I can't imagine what that was like, to have a pillar of fire at night that you follow. And so they've been in exile and they come to Mount Sinai. And in Exodus 19, 16 to 22, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled, and then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. At the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. And so Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, "Go down and warn the people, so that they do not force their way through to see the Lord, because many of them will perish. You see, even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them. Just imagine for a moment the fear that must have gripped the people, the sounds, the smells, the noise, and finally, the voice of God speaking through those clouds. Not even Moses could stand in the presence of God. Even he trembled with fear. And I know this is not often what we talk about. We talk about God as the Father, the loving side, the friend side, but God has this side too. His awesomeness is unfathomable. No other man but Moses could go up that mountain. All the others would die if they tried. His power, his might, his magnificence is beyond all of our imaginations. But the great thing is that while all that awesomeness is still true, Jesus changed everything for us. Jesus dying on that cross meant that we, each one of us, can now approach God without dying. Before Jesus, only the priests could enter the Holy of Holies. But now, we all can. Because Jesus washes us pure as snow. We are seen through Jesus. He is our lens. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to the thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You see, we no longer have to fear like they did at Mount Sinai. While God is still the same God, he is still awesome and terrifying and powerful. Through Jesus, we have been welcomed into the Mount Zion, the city of angels, singing joyfully, worshipping and praising the Holy of Holies, singing hallelujah and rejoicing in our souls. A great celebration is taking place because we are there. The angels are singing and Jesus is mediating, and we are being made perfect as thousands upon thousands of angels sing their praises to God. We don't need to worry about earthly things. We're already there. We have already secured our place. Our lives should reflect this. Our lives should be holy. Because we already stand in the Holy of Holies, in the city of angels. We stand on holy ground before the awesome, most incredible, most powerful God of all. We are standing on holy ground, on ground where once no man could stand. We are before the King of Kings, the God Most High, the Creator of all, the Master Craftsman. We are the citizens of the city of God, and we are being made holy. Amen. Amen. Isn't it incredible? And I'm going to read it again. You see, we are no longer have to fear like they did at Mount Sinai. While God is still the same God, he's still awesome and terrifying and powerful, but through Jesus, we have been welcomed into Mount Zion, the city of angels singing joyfully and worshiping and praising the Holy of Holies, singing hallelujah, rejoicing in our souls. A great celebration is taking place because we are there. The angels are singing and Jesus is mediating and we are being made perfect as thousands upon thousands of angels sing their praises to God. We don't need to worry about earthly things because we're already there. We have already secured our place. Our lives should reflect this. Our lives should be holy because we stand in the Holy of Holies in the city of angels. We stand on holy ground before the awesome, most incredible, most powerful God of all. We are standing on holy ground, on the ground where once no man could stand. We, each one of us, are before the King of Kings, the God Most High, the Creator of all, the Master Craftsman. We are the citizens of the city of God, and we are being made holy. Amen. And now we're going to go back to the worship that was so good earlier, and let's praise because we are in that city with the angels singing their praises to God. God is working out a plan. He worked out a plan. Isn't it incredible? He worked out a plan so that we could stand and live in his presence. Let's thank him for that, for all that he has done. Let's stand and let's worship.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not check us out on all social media platforms or visit broadmead.org.uk. Thank you.